Constitution Committee, the commission will come to order. Commission members Schutte, Herring, Boone, and Timchuk are present, so that four gives us a quorum. Is that correct, Administrator Taylor?
Yes, so that is correct.
Not with us today are Judge Pryor and Junkie Yoshida. So they will be noted as absent. It is the chair's hope here that this will be the last meeting of the Public Institution Committee. I believe we can get through all the material that has been assigned to us in fairly quick order and either dispose of it with no further recommendation or move it up to the larger full committee. The next meeting of the full committee will be Monday, August 14th.
That is correct.
And that is at 9 o'clock, I believe. Is that right?
Okay,
so
that very good.
That was your... that may have been the mistake. So Monday the 14th at 9 o'clock. Do you want to preview that meeting for us quickly?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, on August 14th, we certainly hope to consider all of the recommendations that come down from each of the individual committees at that time, including anything you approve today. We have a number of recommendations that have just come down from the Facilities Committee. We expect some significant recommendations from the Management and Human Resources Committee and also Process, if all goes as planned, in the next week and a half. So.
All right. We'll move through this agenda here, everything that's been before us, and we've had a number of hearings, as the record will reflect, on these issues and discussions on them. And now is the time for the committee to decide whether we want to move them forward or not. The first page there on your list is the proposals relating to public access. As you know, we heard from the League of Women Voters and a number of organizations on the access of the legislature. Much of it was praise and stating that Oregon has a well-deserved reputation for openness to the legislative process. Although the public has access to the process, the committee did hear several concerns and possible solutions to increasing or improving public access. And there's a list there of 18 recommendations that we heard as a committee or that were provided to the committee as suggestions. And Administrator Taylor drew up a recommendation which would say, as it does in front of you, the committee commends the Legislative Assembly and their dedication to public access to the legislative process. In fact, the press testified that the legislature has a well-deserved reputation of being open to the public. Several of the following items are already required by the Legislative Assembly, but the committee heard on several occasions from different people that reiterating the need for some of the following items and encouraging development of others could help keep the process open and make it more so. Then you see a list of 18 suggestions that have been made to the committee, ranging from the 48-hour notice, keeping it as long as possible, a one-hour notice as close to sine die as possible, the common sense courtesy of people who have traveled the farthest distance, testify first, hold more hearings away from the Capitol, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of them common sense, a lot of them fairly obvious, a lot of them the legislature already does. The question before this committee is if we want to pass along a recommendation such as this to the full commission, praising the legislature for the access, basically saying keep it up, don't let down, and here are some things to remember and to study. Discussion, comments, thoughts from committee members? President Schutte?
Well, I'd like some more discussion about 13 and 16 and certainly the introductory comment. Some press gave testimony might be more accurate than the press.
The press, yes. Testimony was heard.
Yeah.
As a testimony was heard, okay. Let's change. Make that a little more artful. So.
I'm not sure all the press would agree. Would you, Hassel?
Pardon me?
The press.
Well, I think we've had some testimony to that effect. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, some press. 13 and 16. Marjorie, is you going to be...
Number 13 on your list is discourage budget notes and policy issues from being included in budget bills. The process committee had testimony from Ken Rocco, legislative fiscal officer, about budget notes. And I believe that the process committee is still kind of considering the whole issue altogether. But in response to comments, especially from the League of Women Voters, it might be important to at least acknowledge that there is some frustration on the part of the public with the budget note process, and we could certainly do that in several different committees, several different ways. So budget notes, as has been stated by a couple of legislators and legislative fiscal and actually agencies, kind of serve an important role. Granted, the public doesn't have a lot of opportunity to testify on the budget notes, but at least they are accessible to the public.
I don't recall hearing that much testimony on those, so I would I would be favorable pushing that to the process committee. Since they've heard testimony at it, we can pick that up our list.
Okay. And then with number 16, use more internet surveys. My understanding from that comment was the public was interested in having legislators or committees or someone just survey the public by using those little Survey Monkey internet surveys that just generate responses back to whoever's requested the survey, just on a wide variety of issues. And I think that members have used those in the past as they go out with their newsletters.
I'm just wary of a broad recommendation like that. I mean, we don't want kind of American Idol legislation here.
Commissioner Mary.
I agree that I don't remember that there's much testimony or any testimony about that. In fact, I can't remember seeing it before. But I think we ought to take it out of this list because I don't think we should recommend any such thing. Those kinds of surveys are utterly useless except as a public relations gimmick.
I tend to agree. I'd take 16 and take that out.
They ought not to be employed.
Yes. Representative Boone, from your experience
I get those all the time from a lot of different, and they take time. You have to take time to do them. And we are also, and maybe Dave Henderson can address this, on our websites, we're constrained by what we can, have as, and I would consider that a link, what the kind of links we can have. But I agree with what Hasso said about it being
I think we're all
unless
that,
you're so. Actually needing to get this, and I can't imagine me doing it. I wouldn't want to say nobody can, but I don't think we need to get that
on the larger issue. Representative Boone, do you think it would be helpful for this committee to send a list such as this with the deletions we have made to the legislature, saying good job on the access. Mm-hmm. Here are some ideas we've heard for you to study and look at. And would that be helpful to you?
I think so. And I was looking at some of these other things here. Is that the public testimony? Most chairs honor people who come from a distance. And if people sign up to testify, otherwise they won't know where you come from if you don't say that. Or you can always, when you come a little bit early, you can talk to the administrator and say, I've driven from Hermiston. Think I can go first or whatever? I don't think I would want to be in the position of ordering them to do these things. But there's a lot of things. There's another one on chairs, train chairs to be more attentive to the needs of audiovisual and names. That's just, they do that because it has to go in the record. And if someone starts talking, it's incumbent on anybody on the committee to remind them to state their name, too. So I'm just worried about us being so, micromanagement-wise on this committee.
Sure. Mr. Chair, members of the committee,
yes.
I think this list is pretty permissive, and I think what you're trying to address is some concerns that you've heard from the public, whether in writing or in person, and that you're not directing them to follow this list exclusively, but just reminding them, hey, you might want to just be a little more attentive to this issue, so on and so forth. So I think you're clearly illustrating, here are some concerns that you've heard.
Follow up on that. And I understand that, too. We did hold a lot of hearings on the road, different committees did, but people need to be incumbent on, if we do more hearings on the road, that's expense. Additional expense, especially if it's an overnight included, and then we'll get hit from the public on we're wasting money by going around. But that's a toss-up too. Mm-hmm. I think it's valuable, and I think it's worked in the committees I've been on where we go. But it is an additional expense, And with the video conferencing capability, we can make all, and with what's planned for the video and internet capacity, I think almost except for me in my slow dial-up area, anybody could be a part of these committees.
As far as these hearings away from the Capitol are concerned, it seems to me that, you know, keeping our charge in mind, trying to reconnect or improve the status of the legislature with people, with Oregon as a whole, it is not useful to send legislators to Klamath Falls for a hearing, because it's not going to get covered in the news, for one thing. And it is the legislature gets information in a way that where nobody pays attention. Chances are that on a controversial issue, a hearing at the Capitol is going to get noticed, and people will pay more attention than if it's held in Burns or Medford or someplace. So I think it's not a good idea to urge legislators to leave the Capitol as often as they can. My impression of all these recommendations is they're sort of on the fuzzy side, and I'm not sure what good we're doing by reminding lawmakers to be attentive to courtesy and their constituents and all that. If they're not, this isn't going to make any difference. So my guess would be that we could dispense with all this and not make any recommendations at all, except maybe as a note in the report saying these are the things we heard, but you heard the same things, and so all we're doing is killing trees by repeating it.
Commissioner Schutte.
I think it is important to reflect what we've heard, with the exceptions of maybe 9-10 as well as 13-16, as things that people have appreciated.
Okay.
So
I would, let's pick out 9 and 10.
Without making a heavy-duty recommendation, I think I'm agreeing with you that we don't overplay this, and I think the lead-in that Marjorie's provided does that, but maybe we can make it even clearer.
Perhaps if it says something, I was making some notes here. The committee commends the Legislative Assembly and their dedication to public access to the legislative process. Testimony was heard that the legislature has a well-deserved reputation of being open to the public. For the legislature's information, the committee heard on several occasions from different people who reiterated the need for some of the following items and encouraging development of others. And here's the list. And this may be issued as a footnote or report or whatever. So is that for that?
Well, I just like 17. I have people who tell me don't send me emails that have attachments that are a graph or some big PDF file because they can't open them. And that's fine. These are kind of, you know, they're available, and I like how you put it that way, but I think that gets into the nitpicking category in my opinion. And we did get good comments, though, on our road trip with transportation when we went to Bend and had the school speed law, because they had, I think in Prineville, they got three areas there, and all these people came and said, you know. But
I think 17's a little bit.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure that people in the localities appreciate legislators coming around,
mm-hmm.
but from the standpoint of making laws and everybody acting on the same information, I think it would be more helpful to have most hearings at the Capitol.
So the ones left on our, as we pass along a recommendation, would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11, 12, 14, 15, and 18.
Would you like to read those into the record?
If you'd like us to, so.
Okay.
Reading them into the record, these are the recommendations that then the commission is looking at, passing along to the legislature in a four-year information type format. 48-hour committee, at least 48-hour notice for committee meetings for as long as possible. Move to one-hour notice as close to sine die as possible. Establish one page on the legislative website to request any legislative agenda, including those from legislative fiscal and legislative revenue. Give as much notice for hearing amendments as possible and provide an explanation of the effect of amendments to the public. Clearly indicate on agendas when testimony from the general public will be heard as opposed to introductory, invited, or organized testimony. During public testimony, first hear from people who have traveled the farthest distance. Train chairs to be more attentive to the needs of the audiovisual audience, including stating names on the record and explaining procedures or describing visual aids. use teleconference or video conference technology more often, ensure that work group representation reflects the diversity of the issues being discussed, hold public hearings on recommendations from work groups before approving them, make the legislative website more usable to the general public, use accessible language, display the citizen's guide more prominently on the legislative website, provide summary or overview documents on complicated budget and policy issues to the press and public. Any of those that we can live without or can't live without? Or
I think that's a fine list. I think we can go with that.
All right.
Perhaps there's, looking still at 9 and 10, maybe there's a more general statement, because we did hear about this, and maybe it's something like consider additional methods to provide access to hearings for those who live outside Salem or the region or something.
Okay.
Which could be a telecommunication strategy as
right.
opposed to the legislators traveling. Maybe there's...
Okay. Mr. Tater will make that, that change. With that, I would move in the adoption of that recommendation.
Second.
Short timer, Kelly.
Yeah.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Harry.
Yes.
Judge Pryor excused. Judy.
Yes.
Yoshida excused. Chair Tinchoff.
Yes. All right. Yep. Oh, at the very bottom of that first page, you'll notice a. There was a matter to deal with in-district offices to provide a budget and staffing for all legislators to open up an in-district office. I think in the past discussion, the committee thought that that was kind of beyond our scope, and that's definitely up to the discretion of the legislators, what they do with their budget and staffing, and also it would have to do with compensation and salaries and other issues. So inclination, I thought, from past discussions was to take no further action. So any disagreement with that? We need a motion on that, or can we just... We do need a motion on that. So Chair would then move that we take no further action on proposal number 10, which was before this committee on their agenda previously.
Second.
Call the roll.
Representative
Boone? Aye.
Yes.
Judge
Schreier excused.
Yes.
Yoshida excused.
Yes. Moving now to what was proposal number 61 before us, was a proposal to open the caucus meetings and to have the caucus meetings be open. As you know, the Senate Democrat caucus did open their meetings during all of the last session in Mr. Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
They are now, as I understand, closed again. I did not sense from our past meetings that this was an item that the committee wanted to move forward. And
want to be a troublemaker? Come on.
Yeah.
You want to be a troublemaker?
And that was best left with the caucuses. And, I mean, the issue has been debated in the press and in op-eds and by members. And I know Senator Gordley was a believer in open caucuses. There are those who believe that if you open them up to the press and the discussion cannot be as open as and engaged as you would like it to be. Again, I don't think this is a problem with the legislature's image. I don't think the public gives two whiffs about whether or not the caucuses are open, in my view, but President Schutte.
Well, I just wonder if we should have some statement in support of openness. I mean, our initial statement at the top of page one talks about a well-deserved reputation for openness, and we are considering the recommendations that we just all approved that are in support of that. Do we need to say any more? I guess I'm hesitating here. I love to have the window in. So I'm just not quite sure what we should say, but I would like to.
Editor Hassing.
keeping in mind our overall mission here, I think we ought to come down whenever there's a choice on the side of openness as opposed to behind-the-scenes manipulation.
That's true.
And I think all of us could remember, although I can't offhand cite the particular examples of instances where bills have either disappeared or suddenly were condemned to death without any public process taking place. And so, and people who are interested in that sort of thing can't understand how come, I mean, the House voted for this thing 52-8. How come it can't get out of the Senate? What's going on here? Well, the reason is there's some sort of behind-the-scenes manipulation or agreement or strategy that holds up the bill. And that's the kind of stuff, I think, that gets discussed in the party caucuses. I think that discussing the public's business and behind closed doors, whether in caucus or any other place, is wrong in Oregon, and we ought to, as we get the choice here, or the chance to do that, come down against it. And the party caucus can do what they want, and they may not agree with us, and I'm sure some won't, or one or two won't, and well, that's their problem. But I think when we get the chance to say, would you like it to be open, or would you like it to be closed to be more efficient? I think we ought to say it ought to be open, even it ought to be open. I don't buy the excuse that, well, then people aren't frank with each other. I've never known anybody who is, an honest person. I've never known an honest person to be not candid with somebody, period. If they say something in closed session that they wouldn't dare say outside, then I don't think they belong in the legislature. My guess would be. I mean, that's my opinion. So I would suggest that on this particular count, we strongly urge the both houses, both chambers, to adopt rules that open up the caucuses. Whenever there's a deliberation toward, I don't care if they have caucuses about when to plan the birthday party for the speaker, but if they want to deliberate on a public issue, that ought to be done in a public setting. Whether anybody shows up or not doesn't matter, because some of that stuff, I guess, would be terribly boring, and Peter Wong's the only guy who's going to be there. But in any case, it ought to be. We ought to come down on the side of openness.
Representative Boone?
Well, I disagree because of some of the reasons that you said. But the other thing, I guess, is it's not going to happen because this subcommittee can make a recommendation to the full committee, which may make the recommendation or not. But each individual caucus is going to vote on it, and they have in the past voted not to, with the exception of the Senate Democrats, which did open up and then closed. And so I think in light of that, and a lot of the things that are discussed, and one of the things I wanted to address that you mentioned, Hasso, was what happens to the bills. What happens sometimes is that, it's technical, especially near the end when a bill disappears, like you gave the example, something could be a very overwhelming vote for something, and it doesn't make it through the technical requirement of every day. It takes a day to go from this reading to that reading, and there's the opportunity to suspend the rules to hear things. But like last session, there was a decision made not to suspend the rules and change things like that to move things along in the interest of getting towards sine die. And I know that a couple of bills may have ended up in that trap, in that sense, when the rules were not suspended, but that wasn't, and that would have happened in an open caucus. They would have just said, no, the leadership agreed not to suspend rules because it's making everything take so much longer. So, and maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's what that was my take on it. And it was frustrating, yeah.
Ms. Shee?
I guess I wanted to speak again on having some strong statement about, as Hasso has said, doing public's business in public, and a strong encouragement. I think you're probably right, Representative Boone, that we are not going to be able to mandate this, even if it gets through the full committee. But I think we must stand up for public access.
And in all honesty, the decision to even have a bill move forward and get assigned to a committee starts with the leadership offices, mm-hmm. and that's the first, you can file all the bill drafts you want, and then somebody, the speaker and the president, decide whether they get, which committee they get assigned to, then the chairs decide whether they get heard, and those decisions, they aren't made in caucus. They're made by those chairs and the leadership. But I understand and I respect your view. Mm-hmm. It's just I feel that we are doing it in public by once they get in action and they're in the committees, all those committee actions are in public. And so that's where the arguing for or against the bill is done. On record.
Mr. Mayor.
I appreciate what you say, but if you say that the caucus meetings just don't do anything important, then,
I didn't say that.
Well, it sounds like it. You see, if all the decisions are made someplace else, well, then why hold them in the first place? I mean, if all they do is plan birthday parties, what's embarrassing about that? I mean, they don't do that. I know that.
My
point is that if decisions are going to be made all along the way in the process, in the legislative process, the few people in the public who are interested in that sort of thing ought to be able to watch or listen. And I have never understood the excuse for closing caucuses, because if it means that you say something in private that you would not say in public, then I don't think you're an honest person and you don't belong in the legislature.
I'll make a motion, see what happens to it. I move that we do strongly encourage doing the public's business in public, and ask the House and Senate Republican and Democratic caucuses to have open meetings in the spirit of the 1978 legislatively referred ballot measure that the citizens approved, to implement open meetings in the legislature and committees.
I second the motion.
Further discussion? I believe, Mr. Taylor, under the rules, it takes 4 votes to pass anything. So,
Representative Boone?
No.
Herring?
Yes.
Judge Pryor excused? Chief?
Yes.
Yoshida excused? Chair?
No. So, 2-2.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, we will certainly forward this recommendation to the commission and indicate that it was a 2-2, so it failed. That doesn't mean that the full commission won't continue further with the recommendation, but at least from this point forward, that's where we are.
Moves forward with no recommendation, so.
But we'll include that discussion.
Right. Great. Item number 67 on the agenda had to do with effective distribution of paperwork. We have not disposed of this previously, but Administrator Taylor recommends, and I agree, that we take no further action as the Capitol is going wireless and the chamber moves towards paperless sessions. Paperwork will be distributed faster and more efficiently for legislators, staff, and the public. I don't think this is an item that rises to the concern of the public that much. So I would recommend that we just take no further action on number 67.
I agree.
Call the roll.
Representative Boone?
Yes.
Herring?
Yes.
Judge Pryor excused? Chibi?
Yes.
Yoshida excused? Chair Tinchin?
Yes. The next vast issue area we discussed and had a one or two hearings on, if I recall correctly, was the training of the legislators and legislative staff. We heard testimony from Administrator Henderson, from Judy Hall, the Secretary of the Senate, from Ramona Kennedy, the Clerk of the House, the caucus offices, as to the training that is provided to both the new members and to the new staff, legislative staff. There were a number of proposals that dealt specifically with training for legislative assistants and caucus staff, for legislators, and for training for lobbyists and agency staff. Those are before you now. We'll do a quick review of them to see if the committee members want to move this forward. Proposal number 11 for training for legislative assistants led to a possible recommendation that more training for legislative assistants on the legislative process and tools available to them, model after the Senate staff meetings, review different issue areas each week. In other words, stagger training so that staff aren't swamped for details in the first week of session and won't be pertinent until later. Urge legislative assistants to learn all the details about their districts, including cities and counties served, school districts, schools, newspapers, etc., and the people associated with them.
They better,
yeah, exactly. And then you saw Proposal 15 there, dealt with training for legislators, chair training, a biannual refresher course. There's also recommendation training for lobbyists and agency staff on the legislative process. would be interested in hearing from committee members as if we need to make a recommendation on any of this.
Well, Hassel. Mr. Chairman, I think the summary is correct in that we are all impressed by the amount of training that actually goes on, especially for the staff. It seems to me that there's a whole heck of a lot of it, and if improvements are to be made in that training schedule or regimen, then I would think that the people in charge of it are very capable of understanding what needs to be improved. I don't think we need to actually make these recommendations.
I would tend to agree. Mr. Schutte, any?
Well, again, this is maybe so soft it's no recommendation at all, but I think saying the training is important and recommending that there be continued improvements by those responsible, again, it's but to omit training at all from
Mr. Chair, will the discussion show? Can we show the discussion that?
Mr. Chair and commission members, I think that the direction that Commissioner Schutte is going in is probably appropriate for a recommendation so that you're taking no further action specifically on these proposals.
I would not want
but
to recommend any of these specifics.
Like Commissioner Herring was suggesting, let those people who are planning the training modify it and improve it in the future.
Well, the chair would recommend then that the would move that we send along a recommendation that the committee is taking no further action on proposals 11, 15, and 64 dealing with training for legislators and staff because the testimony we heard, the committee is impressed with the training that is currently ongoing and urges that it continue to be training for staff and new members and improvements can continue to be made. Is that a fair summary?
You bet.
They do a great job.
Right.
They do a great job.
Call the roll.
Representative
Boone?
Yes.
Herring?
Yes.
Judge Pryor, excused.
Schutte?
Yes.
Yoshida, excused.
Chair. Hi. All right. We're moving along quite nicely here. Page 3, are the recommendations still before the committee dealing with members in the institution? This has to do with the debate we heard about partisanship, about wanting people to get along better, to listen to each other, and then it also deals with ethics and nepotism, which we'll get to in a minute. Proposal number one, which is still before the committee, was on member relationships, and if I recall, basically it was that the committee should force all members to hold hands and sing kumbaya and get along and get along better, which of course is a nice thought, but tough to do and to legislate and to mandate. And the language here before us is that we take no further action on that proposal. The committee and commission can't mandate good working relationships, but we can say that partisan rancor may be decreased if members slow down and take time to learn the background life story of their fellow members, develop more opportunities for members to communicate about differences on issues. I mean, much of this, of course, is common sense.
A lot of it's happening. Yes.
And we heard, members will recall, we heard from a lobbyist who basically said we should go back to the good old days where members drank together and played cards together would be the way to.
We also heard real initiatives from individual legislators that had made a difference on critical issues. Again,
right.
I completely agree that we can't mandate any diminution of partisan rancor, but we can certainly recognize that legal relationships are expected.
And
the public expects them.
Representative Krieger was telling me that he's encouraging members of his caucus to reach over the divide
and he was
invite people out and
eloquent.
Get to know them.
Yeah.
And I know he's continuing to do that. So.
So I think we can get along without this recommendation. Is that
yes.
What
yeah. We can. Yeah. We can all get along without the recommendation. So.
Do I need to make a motion that we dispense with this recommendation? Make no recommendation on number one on page 3? That's the motion.
Motion seconded. Call the roll.
Yes.
Herring?
Yes.
Judge Pryor, excused.
Yes. Measure 5, number 5, you'll recall, we heard testimony from Pat Hearn, the head of the Oregon Government and Standards and Practices Commission, who will soon be leaving to go to the Nevada Government and Standards and Practices Commission. And as you recall, the chair asked him to appear not as the chair of the commission, but as an individual citizen, so he could be more honest with us and tell us some thoughts. And I thought it was very helpful testimony. The most important, I thought, point he made that sort of struck my attention was that the fact that the budget of the Governance Standards and Practices Commission is set by the legislature, which in my mind and other, I know other people's mind, raises the possible conflict of interest that the legislature is setting the budget for folks who are investigating them. Interestingly, Nevada, where Mr. Hearn is going, has another model for funding where it's set by fees of some kind, I believe, isn't that correct?
Assessments.
So the legislature does not set the budget for the arm that ends up investigating them. And I thought it might be helpful to study a proposal or to think about a proposal such as that is written here, which would say that the committee finds that a conflict adversely affecting the public image of the legislature could arise from the fact that the legislature is responsible for setting the budget of the Oregon Government Standards and Practices Commission, which is charged with investigating ethical violations of legislators. Therefore, the committee recommends that the legislative leadership conduct a study of how other states fund similar commissions and to introduce legislation that will remove the funding mechanism from legislative control. The Oregon Law Commission is also studying this similar issue. So that's a point made there on number two. So thoughts on the recommendation?
I like the recommendation. I would want to be clear on who we're referring to when we say legislative leadership. Maybe it's obvious, but it's not.
Speaker, we could mention Speaker of the House and President of the Senate. So.
And then I wonder if a time frame wouldn't be.
That's a great idea. So
by 2008 or.
I'd say I would say by the end of the session.
Yeah.
Pass it, legislature and be introduced and adopted before the 2007 session signing dies. Mm-hmm. Any problems or concerns with that?
No, I don't think so. I think a study like that should not take more than a few days.
Exactly.
We find out by reading the paper what states are doing.
I'm sure Mr. Henderson could have that done in a matter of weeks, so, at the legislative administration. So
moved.
And clearly this idea of assessing, as I understand it, some 4,000 public officials in Oregon are covered by this, by the Ethics Commission procedures. And so it's not just legislators who are affected. And assessing all those people, I mean, all those units of government, a token fee should solve the problem, really, the budget problem anyway, I would think.
Right. Representative Boone?
I agree. I think that's a great idea. And I think it could be done quickly. It's. I know Dave probably has a button he can push on his computer called Enter. And he's got a lot of resources. I'm sure that could be done easily. And I like the idea of it being done in this next session and finish. I honestly agree with it because I think that his office was cut down to about a half-time person, mm-hmm. and you literally cannot do the kind of investigation he needs to do. I think the public would appreciate it.
Then the motion before the committee would be that this committee would recommend to the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate that they order a study, that the legislative administrator conduct a study of how other states fund government standards and practices, and that legislation be introduced and passed before signing died 2007 session to create another funding mechanism for our Ethics Commission that does not involve control by the legislature. And you can clean that up a bit.
Perhaps we might be able to clean it up by dropping any reference to a study, because presumably if we're going to have a system that does not rely on the legislature, first you would study how it ought to be done.
Right.
And then clearly you can call some clearinghouse with the state legislators and legislatures and see how this is done around the country.
Right. Well, I will amend then. Let's amend on the fly here that the committee will recommend to the legislature that they pass before the end of the 2007 session legislation that removes control of funding of the Oregon Government Standards and Practices Commission from legislative control.
Okay.
Excellent. Second.
Call the roll.
Representative Boone?
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Judge Pryor?
Excuse?
Yes.
Yoshida? Excuse? Chester? Yes. I think that is one of the more important recommendations this committee will make. Let's see if Representative Boone, if you can follow up on it. I appoint Representative Boone as the chair of the legislative committee to get this done. So.
I know exactly where to go.
A few others that we still have not disposed of. Recommendation number 17 that was sent to this committee was basically, if I remember, just a generic recommendation calling for preservation of the citizen legislature. And recommendation 18 was a proposal calling for the creation of a professional legislature. Obviously, two diametrically opposed recommendations by the all the other work of this commission and committee. I think it's pretty clear that the commission is not recommending the creation of a professional legislature. Do we need to deal with either of these or any of these or ASSO?
No, I think that's superseded by what the commission has already done in terms of
the timing of the session.
The timing
and salary
and
of the yeah, that's all. I agree. So.
I think we can simply decide not we can let me move to have the committee take no action on these recommendations.
Commissioner Herring moves that the committee take no action on recommendations 17 and 18. Second, and call the roll.
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Judge Pryor, excused. Sheedy?
Yes.
Yoshida, excused. Chair Tenchin?
Yes. Number 23, it was a recommendation calling that we preserve the institution of the legislature. Again, it was a fairly generic, sky's the limit, broadly written proposal that was sent to us. Mr. Taylor, this one kind of escapes me, but
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I believe that what they were trying to get at is there are just customs and a history of the body that's being lost, and somehow preserving those customs and traditions in the legislative assembly. I think that's the institutions.
Yeah. Okay. When I read this time, I thought perhaps it was referring to the precarious support for the legislature, that there's certainly some legislators have asked that our group do what it can to strengthen the public sense of the importance of the legislature, but maybe it was something entirely else.
As I say, I think it was more geared towards the customs and histories and traditions of the legislative assembly. Maybe the going down to the bar and having a beer with your... I think that's kind of where they were going. Just the institution, the process, the kind of history, the body of the legislature. I think that's where they were going.
I was thinking of...
But you can...
Yes,
you want your one?
No, and I took it... I looked at that, too, and I thought, as long as Ramona and Judy are the queens of their chambers... We will always stand up when the gavel strikes three times, sit down at one, and say the flag salute and dress accordingly. That was kind of my thing. And plus, just the decorum. And I know how, no cell phones and things. That's the sort of thing that has changed.
Oh.
We didn't have cell phones, so that's kind of a new thing. And the sergeant-at-arms is a wizard at all this. He sees behind his... Good. So if people or staff are doing things they're not supposed to do, they keep a real tight ship, seriously. They have rules of the floor, very tight ship. And I that's what I was taking that it was, is that we don't let it loosey-goosey.
Like
so
no one's doing their BlackBerry during...
Well, they do that, but they can't jump over the fence. And, there's just the thing, I think the traditions of the floor, and that's the way I took it, and how committee structure is and things like that. I think it changes with technology, obviously, and will. But
well, I don't think that in terms of our overall mission, this item matters a whole lot.
Correct.
I move that we take no further action.
I would agree.
Call the roll.
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Judge Pryor, excuse. Sheedy?
Yes.
Yoshida, excuse. Chair.
Yes. Next item on our agenda was the discussion this committee had, and we heard testimony on this from a variety of witnesses on the issue in practice of legislators hiring family members, blood family members, as staff. For discussion purposes, you can read here what Administrator Taylor put down, which says, the committee finds that due to the part-time nature of the legislature and the distance that some members have to travel, the practice of members hiring spouses or relatives as their assistants is understandable and should be left to the discretion of individual members. However, the committee does believe that setting salaries for relatives of members can create an appearance of impropriety. The committee therefore recommends that legislative leadership adopt rules in 2007 that require any legislators hiring their spouse, child, parent, or blood relative as an employee of the legislative office to file a statement with the chief clerk of the House or secretary of the Senate certifying that they have hired a relative and indicate the salary of the relative. Before a salary can be paid to that employee, the chief clerk of the House or secretary of the Senate must certify that the salary is within a generally accepted range for the position. Similar certifications must be submitted for salary increases. Discussion.
Before getting to the substance of it, as a mother and grandmother of adopted children, what is added by the word blood?
I think adopted children count as blood relatives.
Do they?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah. And Mr. Chair and committee members, in the document that we hijacked from the Oregon Law Commission that described all of the statutes and laws from other states regarding nepotism and how it applies to the legislature, there are a couple of different definitions of relative, and we could certainly pull some of those definitions out for leadership to look at, and I believe that adopted family members are certainly included in that.
Intuitively, and somewhere in other recommendations, we're trying to make anybody able to understand what we do.
Right.
So I think delete the line.
Yeah,
delete
the line.
No, I totally agree. Because my sister's adopted, and she was always told by my parents when she tried to pull that card, you know, you give Debbie more preference, you know. So no, actually, they gave her more preference, so it wouldn't appear. But that's
just trying to have trend.
They always let her more. We understand.
Yeah, they love her.
Well,
Commissioner
Herring.
I think in a different system, we wouldn't need this system, this scheme of hiring relatives that we've had in Oregon for a long time. I remember for the last 40 years, the AP, every other year, there's a story about all these relatives. And nobody, I mean, so what? Nobody cares in Oregon. But if we had a system where legislators got paid a professional salary, and where they got an allocation for to staff their office in a way that's commensurate with what they need, then we wouldn't have to have this crazy system. But as long as we don't, and if none of the recommendations from the rest of the commission address that subject of, you know, some sort of a professional pay scheme, then we
There will be a recommendation as to do with salary legislators coming from another committee.
Hopefully by the 14th.
So.
Well, I don't know what that's going to say exactly. But if it says that legislators get paid on the level of state legislators in the West, for example, including California or something like that,
I don't think it'll be that.
Or that they will get an allocation so they can do their work and don't have to staff the phone all Sunday night when they're home, all that kind of stuff. Then I don't think we should have people hiring their sons and daughters and wives and spouses and husbands to work. I don't think that makes sense. But if as long as we have the system we do, we can't get around this.
Right.
So I don't know how to make that I'm not sure we're ready to make a recommendation on that. But we can say, I think, that as long as we have the system we have, this is the only way that many legislators can function without wrecking their lives and their homes and all that. And so it is perfectly legitimate, and as long as there's some oversight, as we're recommending here, that the people of Oregon have no reason to complain.
I mean, I think, obviously, one of the biggest black eyes of the last session of the legislature was the situation with Representative Worth, where the hiring of her mother and then the obviously unjustified massive increase after she had already resigned from the House or announced her resignation. So this would alleviate that situation.
She's gone.
So,
and I don't, that's the only time I can even imagine that happened. But, you know, as you said, unless there, we're given an amount of money in the beginning that has to last, and how you spend it's your choice. If you have one person in your office, or two people, or three, and if it's not so much that even if you have two, neither of them gets paid very much. So some people and have one person, they keep one person in the district to deal with, especially if it's a ways away, to deal with the constituent issues there, and they have to split that salary that way. So you're ended up during session, you usually have one person.
Well, frankly, Representative, I think a approach such as this might help the legislature by giving them cover in some sense of the word, where if a constituent complains, you're hiring your husband, you're hiring your whoever, you can say, well, yes, I am, but under the rules, I have declared that the salary has been approved by a neutral party. I'm not that they've certified that I'm paying them within a generally acceptable limit.
I think the statement you make to the Ethics Commission in the beginning of the year, and you say where you get your money, you know, in your family and your work, and if you take money on the side, or if you have business with a lobbyist, you know, it's all there to see. And I think this is fine.
So with that as a background, I move that we accept this recommendation and pass it on to the full commission.
Second.
Call the roll.
Representative Boone?
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Judge Breyer, excuse?
Yes.
Excuse?
Yes. I think that's also another important work of this committee. Good job. The last items we dealt with were the items of close to the heart of Chair Pryor. As you know, she was very concerned with the relationship or lack of relationship between the legislative branch, the counties, the cities, the fact that there was a lack of understanding about what everyone did. The committee heard testimony from a variety of intergovernmental organizations, the counties, the League of Oregon Cities, special districts, with a proposal to create a new intergovernmental commission that some states, Texas and others, have. There was not much interest, I think, on the committee's part in adding a new layer of government. One item we discussed, and we looked back and reflected that legislatures in the 70s and 80s and even in the early 90s, there was a committee on intergovernmental affairs. The jurisdiction of that committee was dealing with counties and cities. Neither the Senate nor the House have that committee anymore, and there was discussion that might be a recommendation to make that the next legislative session and reinstitute that committee. Other than that, we talk about the fact that, getting along and talking with the county commissioners and city councilmen was a core competency issue, basically, for legislators, and I'm sure Representative Boone knows exactly what the Tillamook County Commission is needing and thinking and understands the needs of their county. While I sympathize with Chair Pryor's desire that everyone, be on the same page and understand each other, it seems hard for me to figure out a way that we mandate that.
I would tend to agree with most of that. I don't have a problem with the 116 that recommending the committee. I just recommend to the leadership to form a joint committee. And I wouldn't say either both. Don't need to, but if that would foster better relationships on a whole, and then you're absolutely right. It's incumbent on the legislators individually to foster these relationships, and it keeps them in touch with their, and plus, if they're smart, they have a good relationship with their local editor, who's really got
There's Amanda. There's the local
committee. She sees all the connections.
We recommend that legislators get to know their local editors.
Yeah.
That's recommendation number 753.
But, I just think that that's kind of part of it's a no-brainer. But I think I don't have a problem with the formation of a committee that might deal with some of those issues.
Mr. Schutte?
I'm currently wary of additional committees without going further. And wonder if it isn't really a training issue. Maybe that is a topic that, if it isn't already included, could be better included
in
training for legislators. I would hate to think that a committee could effectively address
Well, I'm just thinking of some of the bills that get assigned to committees, and you think, why are we hearing in transportation? Why are we hearing this bill? Wouldn't that normally go to general government, which has the biggest agenda usually, because it's kind of the catch-all for everything? But this would be more specific to, but it's still, it's a relationship issue, right?
Sharon?
Well, I think, just as averse to more committees and steps and levels and all as you are. On the other hand, I think it wouldn't hurt for us to take account of this, of the testimony that we had, that despite the common sense notion that, you know, you ought to talk to your legislator, and in despite the fact that all these, that the counties and the cities and the special districts have these associations with offices in Salem and that they hire lobbyists, they still feel as though in too many instances laws get passed that affect the local, the other units of government in a way that has not been anticipated or has been ignored. And so, I mean, I don't think they're just making this up. And I know from some examples that, that's actually the case. The question of housing state prisoners in county jails, for example, and what to pay for them if their terms are less than a year, that sort of thing. I mean, that has created a huge amount of friction among, and it's not workable. Well, why did that get passed? I don't know. But the point is that if there were a committee that where these group, these other units of local government could go and have a regular routine for getting their concerns heard, that might be helpful. So I would suggest that we do recommend that that the houses form either a separate or probably a joint committee on intergovernmental affairs, and refer to that committee the legislative, I mean, any bills that affect those other units. Yeah. In a substantive way. I mean, everything affects it, right, in some way. But so that would be my recommendation, and maybe I can make that as a form of a motion to get it.
Ms. Schutte, any
concerns? Well, I just wonder if there isn't maybe an intermediate strategy here, as opposed to setting up a committee that would be likely to receive a deluge of bills to consider. Perhaps an ad hoc committee designed to disappear after they've considered what processes might be better to have the notions of the concerns of cities and counties heard, as opposed to recommending set it up. Maybe consider what would be some other strategies.
Sounds reasonable, and but I'm just, the cleanest way, I think, simply if you set up a committee, if it doesn't work, they can disband it, I guess. But
I also unlucky, but maybe. I'm not vehemently opposed, I'm just wary.
I worked for, during one of the sessions I was working in the, for the legislature, my boss, Representative Markham, was the ranking member, or chair, one of the two, of the Intergovernmental Affairs Committee, and it seemed like it got its work done and wasn't overwhelmed with deluge.
No, I wouldn't think it would have a lot of bills to hear, but, you know, but I would also think that those, if we didn't have it, that those are the bills that would go to another committee and add on to its list and might get shuffled out, because it depends on how the chair feels about them. You know.
How about that? Ms. Sharon, if we move that, I think we can state that the committee heard testimony that Oregon County and city officials are often frustrated by a perceived lack of legislative understanding of problems faced by counties and cities. Therefore, the committee recommends that the president and speaker, or that the 2007 session, the rules of the 2007 session include the creation of a joint committee on intergovernmental affairs. That be okay?
Okay.
All right. Second?
Second.
Call the roll.
Representative
Boone?
Aye.
Yes.
Judge Pryor, excused.
Yes.
Aye. And I would also move that we take no further action on number 34 and number 115.
Second.
Call the roll.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Yes.
Judge Pryor, excused.
Aye. Aye. Well.
Ta-da.
Do we get the most efficient committee award?
Oh,
so
no, or
there you go.
No, I think we've done some good work today and have done some good work with the issues assigned to us throughout the process. And the chair would express his appreciation for Commissioner Schutte, Commissioner Harry, Commissioner Boone, Commissioner Yoshida, and Judge Pryor in their absence for serving on the full commission and serving on this committee as well. The chair would also express the committee's thanks to Administrator Taylor for her hard work and for keeping us on task, and to Kelly Whiting, and wish her well in her new job, which starts August 1, right? This is the last time we'll have you with us. So thank you for what you've done, and good luck for the city of Salem. So
it's great for us.
Yes.
The concerns of the city will be.
You live within the city limits, don't you? So,
yes, I do.
So any problems you have with parking tickets, you can address them to Kelly Whiting.
That'll be her new.
Awesome. Can I ask one more thing? At a recent meeting, brought up a pet concern of mine, and that is that I thought one of the wedges between the legislature and the people of Oregon is the way that the legislature writes laws or bills. I think many of them are unintelligible by anybody, but even the drafters, I think, sometimes are befuddled by what they drafted. There was a disagreement not too long ago about what a bill intended to do about concealed weapons permits, if I remember right. And I think it would be really useful to the legislature and to Oregon as a whole if statutes were written in a way that an ordinary person could understand them, so that they don't, for example, refer to other laws by numbers, saying, we're making this provision except in cases where ORS such and so applies, and so and so applies, except that in case section B applies, then the previous sentence does not apply, or something of that sort.
And as a lawyer, there's something wrong with that?
Yeah, I think so. Now, Oregon is not quite as bad as Congress, where
that's for sure.
Where the bills are often written that, you know, we just insert a comma and that's supposed to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And it does mean something. It's really a substantive thing, and you can't figure out at all what it is. So, and we've not, I mean, as near as I can tell, none of the committees has dealt with that issue at all. I'm reasonably sure that Oregon does have, in fact, a statute that says bills are to be written in...
Yes, I believe that there is a statute.
In a certain way that meets a certain English proficiency
right.
standard. But I don't think they are. And... I don't know if anybody else is worried about that. I'm not losing sleep over it, but it's just an annoyance that if it were fixed, then I think the relationship between voters and lawmakers would be a lot easier to handle. And if I'm alone on this, I'm just going to forget about it.
Mr. Taylor, I think, is there something for the process committee dealing with this?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the process committee, hopefully at their next meeting on the 8th of August, will take up the issue of bill drafting and amendments, and I can just fire off an email to Ginny and say, hey, here's a topic that's come up in public institution from you. I don't know if they'll be able to incorporate it into a recommendation, but they might be able to bring it up in a discussion. Otherwise, just bring it up on the 14th at the full commission, and we can include it in some way.
Well, if you could tell Ginny Lang, isn't it? And I'll call Ginny, too. If you could just tell Ginny there's a unanimous recommendation from the public institution committee that...
I think that's important.
Sure. So just like nepotism, we'll just create a new recommendation.
It relates to some of what we have discussed and even approved. Provide summary overview documents on complicated budget and policy issues to the press and to the public. Well, it'd be nice to be able to read the laws themselves.
Right.
So I'm very, very supportive of that as a... From our English teacher, let's get it so we can understand it.
So you would almost put that sort of recommendation under public access type issues.
It is.
That you want the Oregon Revised Statutes to essentially be more accessible to the average citizen in terms of reading them, understanding them, what they do.
And the older laws are, and much of the, but you know, the growth of the statutes is such that, anyway, the point is,
Right, and so I think you add that to the list of the recommendations as for the public access.
Sure, so I'll take that as a proposal from the committee.
Yes.
That you'd like the ORSs to be drafted in a more simple, understandable way. And I guess there's unanimous approval from the committee on that?
Yes, and just add it to the list.
So that would just like
it will be a simple...
And that's usually just what it does. If you want to get into it and see, well, does it affect her child who's blue eyes, you know, and you have to look in ORS, and you're right, you have to have them all
we can recommend that all legislators tour Chemeketa Community College during
which is a unanimous recommendation. I think it would really improve their understanding
Mr. Taylor, unless the full committee assigns us some more issues, this takes care of everything that was assigned to us.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think you're done. Crossing fingers that all of you will be able to attend the full commission meeting on the 14th.
9 a.m. 9 a.m. on the
14th. I think, just like our previous commission meeting where we had a number of recommendations come down from the committee, we'll certainly submit some sort of document similar to what we've had before, explaining what the proposal was, what the recommendation from the committee was, and we'll include the one about the open caucuses. So we'll indicate that the vote was split at this particular meeting, but there might be additional discussion at the commission level. And then sometime by November, we'll be writing the final report, and we'll be asking for some input from you or more input than others. So we'll just go from there.
Yeah. No further business coming before the committee. We stand adjourned.
Well done. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.